And so you are invited to join me in praying the words of confession found on the screen. I will begin, then you will see where you are invited to join in this prayer. Friends, if you long to feel closer to God, then the prayer of confession is a step in the right direction. For in the prayer of confession, we lay our hearts before God. We pour out the truths of our lives. We do not hide anything from our Creator. And in that simple act, God somehow feels closer. So join me in this prayer this morning. Join me as we invite God to draw closer, to break in here. Ever-present God, however, receive these words of hope, family of faith. Even when we doubt God's presence, even when we fail to notice God's fingerprints in this world, God is always moving closer to us. Hear and believe the good news this Advent season. Nothing can keep God's love away. We are seen. We are forgiven. We are not alone. Amen. What book, poem, or verse do you return to? What song is on repeat? What picture or pictures are displayed in your house or on your phone? Is there a movie that you like to watch each Christmas season, or a decoration that stirs up a memory? Entering into the Advent season for another year can be compared to rereading or rewatching or re-listening. Though we know the words and the themes, we return to those stories, to those songs, to those images, because they stir something up in us. And the wonder is that in those familiar things, there remains new messages and new learnings. I invite each of us to prepare for Advent this year, believing that something new will be given. During Advent, we return to the biblical narrative surrounding Jesus' birth, this arrival of God among us, where light bursts forth, where fears are calmed, where rough places are made smooth. For some of us, returning to the Advent story this year will offer comfort. Comfort in the richness of the messages found in the biblical accounts that, though familiar to us, they offer us something new. They offer us incredible hope. For others, returning into the Advent story this year will be difficult, especially if we have faced challenges, fears, unanswered prayers, indescribable loss, and maybe more questions for God than answers from God. And for others, we enter into Advent with curiosity. What new lesson from God will we learn this year? How will God speak and inspire us through these stories that are so familiar? What new things of God will we notice? What is God's invitation to us this year? However you are entering Advent, I encourage you to believe that God has something new to reveal to you. We each are invited to draw near to God and to wait with expectant hope that something new will be given as we say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." This morning, we have lit the candle of hope. We enter into the Advent story with Luke's account of Zechariah's encounter with an angel. Hear these words from Luke 1. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." We could stop there with words of comfort. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. But we'll continue with the good news that he was given. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John. Luke begins with, in the time of Herod. What was going on in the time of Herod? This time into which God sent his son to live among humanity. Jesus was born into a world shaped by violence, by occupation, and by fear. Herod governed with cruelty. He reigned with brutality. The citizens in the time of Herod, they knew fear and they knew insecurity. And they knew what it meant to live with the absence of peace. And it is in this time of Herod that Luke introduces us to Zechariah and Elizabeth, an older couple living in this time of political unrest and injustice, and at the same time carrying their own personal sorrows, longings, and unanswered prayers. They were waiting for light to break through. At this time of Herod, and deep within them, hope at its best was shaky. Yet it was in those times of darkness and uncertainty, in the times of waiting, that God fulfilled his promise that we hear through the prophet Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. In the times that we are living in this Advent, there is also cause to be concerned and saddened. We too have hope that is shaky. Violence around our globe continues. Ceasefires come and go. Homelessness is an epidemic. Decisions by government confuse us. And soaring prices continue to increase the lack of resources for many. We too are waiting for light to break through. Throughout Scripture, we note that waiting is not wasted time. It is where God does a lot of his transformative work, not always in the arrival of answers that we are praying for, but in the anticipation of God's presence. Many biblical stories tell of people who endured long seasons of trusting God between promise and fulfillment. Scripture is full of stories of longing for something that has not yet arrived. Zechariah and Elizabeth knew such waiting. I have always appreciated that Zechariah and Elizabeth continued to serve God even after years and years of unanswered prayer. In those years marked with waiting for God to act. And I have often wondered how they continue to have hope amid the long wait. My thought is that to them, hope was an active word, that they remained faithful in their waiting, They continued to do the work of service that God had called them to do. They continued to go to the temple, their place of worship, and to offer sacrifices of prayer and praise to God. They determined to continuously live and participate in hope. Even on the days when they didn't feel particularly hopeful, even when they wondered if God was actively listening to their prayers, even in the time of Herod, they found ways to keep their hope in God alive. And it is to Zechariah that the angel declares, "Your prayers have been heard." In this season of Advent, for us, waiting can become a holy practice. Many of us know how challenging it can be to wait for something that we desire, especially when we, in the challenges of waiting, are unable to see God in our midst. In Psalm 27, the psalmist expresses his desire to remain hopeful in the midst of uncertainty and concern. And I'm going to invite us to read this cry of the psalmist together. Thanks, Ryan. Let's read together. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." In seasons of waiting, in seasons where we might describe as in the time of Herod, the words of the psalmist remind us of ways to keep on hoping in that waiting. We are invited to cry out to God, to cry out our wants and our needs for others, for situations, and for ourselves. We are encouraged to seek God's face. In Hebrew, God's face is often translated as God's presence. We are to seek, to look for God's presence, God's face. To seek is an active verb. Deuteronomy 4:29 describes it this way: "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." In times of waiting, in times of longing, we are invited to be active participants in hope by seeking God's presence in the midst. The psalmist also reminds us of the importance of courage while waiting. I have known many times of fear in times of waiting, and I particularly do not like waiting in the waiting rooms at hospitals. In times when I am worried in waiting, I often return to the words of Psalm 27, and I breathe in these words of comfort. I say, "Wait on the Lord, Catherine. Be of good courage. Allow God to strengthen your heart. Wait with your eyes on God. Be of good courage, Catherine." The minor prophet Micah also knew what it meant to wait for God's presence during uncertain and unsettled times, where God's presence seemed at a distance and being a messenger of God was complicated. In the midst of this time, he proclaims, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me." There is such beauty and strength in that proclamation as he watches and waits for the Lord. Through these scriptures and through Zechariah's story, we too are encouraged to wait with hope and with courage. And while waiting, we can know that God is actively involved, that God is the God who delivers hope. We are also invited to participate in acts of hope, to perform acts of hope, to speak words of hope, and to follow the ways of hope. Recently, I heard the story of a man who decided to participate in hope among those living on the margins. He was a police officer who would have responded to challenging calls in bleak situations where hope seemed at a distance. The people he responded to were living without hope. They were waiting for hope to come. And one day, while working among the people in a homeless encampment, God caught his attention. Like Zechariah in the time of Herod, God sent a message to this man named Wade. God invited him to participate as a vessel of hope among what seemed hopeless. We're going to watch a video clip together.
We end tonight with a man who spent his career fighting crime, and now in retirement he's found a new calling, fighting crime. And his department tells us he's doing loads of good. For 45-year-old Wade Milliard of Frederick, Maryland, it's just another day of driving around his washing machines, stopping where needed, and doing the laundry of homeless people.
This is just something that they don't have, you know?
Wade used to work as a canine officer. He's retired, was done with policing, but didn't want to stop helping people.
I wanted to serve.
But no idea it would be this.
Correct. Not until about a year and a half ago.
It was the spring of 2024. He was still on the beat and had just responded to a domestic dispute at this homeless camp. And as he was wrapping things up with the couple, he says he heard a voice. Not sure where it came from. He believes it was God. And it said, quote, ask them about their laundry.
Like out of nowhere.
Ask them about their laundry?
Yeah.
Did you ask for God to repeat that?
Yeah, he spoke pretty clear the first
time.
So
you did it.
I did.
They answered, we do our laundry in the creek.
And then I just kind of took it from there.
So, using his own money and donations, he built out this bus and started Fresh Step Laundry, a free fluff and fold service. Today, he does dozens of loads a week.
What's good that you're taking care of yourself, too.
For people like Chris Washington.
If you're clean, you just feel better, you know, you feel like a little bit more proud of yourself.
And that's the thing, you're doing it to maybe give them a little bit of boost.
Wade has willfully taken on a very unpleasant and humbling task. This is like the Pope washing feet. This is Jesus with a Maytag. And Wade says when you feel a calling like that, there's not a sour smell in the world that can steal your sweet sense of purpose.
If having clean clothes can help them just a little bit, then my mission is fulfilled.
Steve Hartman, on the road in Frederick, Maryland.
I find deep encouragement in Wade's story. It is a reminder that God still speaks, that God directs us in hope and in actions of hope. I think it's so exciting that God invites us to be part of his plans of hope during times of challenge and uncertainty where so many around us, ourselves included, are in need of the hope of Jesus among us. In the time of Herod, God sent his son Jesus to live among the people. Isaiah 9 reads, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." In the time of homeless encampments and domestic violence, God sent Wade among the people, bringing dignity and care through actively offering hope. In our time, in Advent 2025, what act of hope is God inviting you, inviting us into? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are an active God. We thank you that your love is active. We thank you that you chose to burst through the darkness in the time of Herod by bringing your son Jesus to live among, to be present to us and with us. God, we thank you this morning that your voice, your call upon our lives is active. May we remember that Wade knew the question of where do you do your laundry was from you. And he chose to follow your leading to ask that question. And we see how deeply hope bloomed in Wade and in the people that he serves. God, thank you that you are active in our lives, that you are hope. Thank you that you invite us to have expectant hope in you, hope that takes courage, hope that you are hearing our prayers. As we enter into Advent, God, may we be active participants. May we watch and see and listen for you to break through all around us. Amen.
If you are, please stand if you're able as we sing our last song.